We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Mark Sinerese, we are back uninterrupted. We're commercial-free here for almost an hour at 215-592-9494. Phils and Yankees tonight. Phillies back at it up in New York. It is a 7 o'clock start, 7:05 start. The Phillies lineup is out. Andrew McCutchen, Hoskins, Harper, Realmuto's cleanup. Gregorius, Segura, Jay Bruce is the DH tonight. Scott Kingery, Adam Haseley gets the start in center field. And pitching tonight, Jake Arrieta. There, Ikey.
No.
Going against Gerrit Cole.
I'm just happy the Phillies are playing tonight. Yeah. See, this is one of those games where I go into it with low expectations. And if they win it, great. If they don't, I wasn't necessarily expecting them to win tonight.
Now, there is a little bit of hope. The Yankees are sitting Luke Voit, Gleyber Torres, and Miguel Andujar. So,
how about Aaron Judge?
Judge or Stanton?
Well, Judge has hit a home run in five straight games, so I don't think they're gonna sit him anytime soon. And Giancarlo Stanton is smoking the ball. But yeah. Those three are pretty important. I mean, Gleyber isn't playing bad.
Yankees are heavy favorites tonight, -300 in most spots. They did open at -360, so they actually the money has went the other way. So for the Phillies,
and how do we catch up to Gerrit Cole tonight?
Well, they haven't seen live pitching in a week, so 95 is going to look like 100.
What I'd say is close your eyes and swing fastball and hope that he throws it. Swing out of your heel. So, yes. Now, here's the problem. So, they're scheduled Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's a tropical storm that it's brewing that you're probably going to get in this area tonight, 6, 7 o'clock. It's going to start. We actually had Bruce, the weatherman, who said he thinks maybe because it's a later start tomorrow night, they might be able to get the game in late. But it is going to be raining most of the day here tomorrow, if not all the day. Heavy rain. Mm-hmm. So that's the Philly stuff. So they're back at it. Now, the Cardinals series has been, that was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, has been suspended or postponed because there's 13 total Cardinals that have now tested positive for COVID. So they will be suspended as they try to get that together right there. So that's the COVID/Philly story. Here's another story. Like the XFL, and oh, man, does Jack Fritz hate the XFL? Sure. He just hates it. So the story comes down today that The Rock, and as a part of an ownership group, has purchased the XFL for $15 million. And part of the group is his ex-wife and also like a venture capitalist guy, Danny Garcia. So for $15 bucks, they're hoping to get it started in 2021 in a bubble concept, depending on the coronavirus. I think it's actually a smart buy. And I'm looking forward to the XFL coming back, Ike.
Yeah, I could care less, man. I couldn't care less. I'm worried about the NFL.
Well, yeah, we're not thinking that first.
I got no concern with the XFL until the NFL plays.
Can't believe it was only $15. What a dynamite league. $15 million.
It's a good buy, considering Vince McMahon's rumored to have lost $375 total.
Yeah, I'd say it's a better chance he just threw away $15 million than it is him actually turning it into a profit.
Mm. Well, we will see. 215-592-9494. Let's get to the phones here. Lots to talk about. We'll start off with Dominic in Cherry Hill. Dominic actually was, last time we talked to him, he was telling me how great a great defensive player Ben Simmons is. What's up, Dom? How are you?
Hey, John. How you doing? I'm glad you led me with that.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Hey, so far, I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of the Sixers bubble experience. Yeah. Okay? And it starts with Brett Brown saying that Ben Simmons is going to shoot threes. He looks amazing shooting. And he's putting all these expectations when we know what Ben Simmons is. He's not going to shoot the ball. And Brett saying that is just putting more pressure on Ben, and I can't stand it. I can't stand it anymore with Brett Brown. I mean, and then you got Joel Embiid in the game coming at Shake Milton and embarrassing him, and then we go on to lose the game, let a guy drop 53 points on us. It's T.J. Warren. It's not James Harden. It's T.J. Warren. Yeah. And then Kyle O'Quinn misses his coronavirus test today. I mean, what are we doing? What is happening? I mean,
he's probably busy.
How does Kyle O'Quinn miss his coronavirus test?
Kyle Quinn should be first in line making sure he gets it, right?
Is it Kyler O'Quinn or Kyle O'Quinn?
Kyle O'Quinn.
Same thing. How does he miss his coronavirus test today?
I don't know. It's because of Brett Brown. I'm putting it on Brett Brown on this one. Only because his players are so out of control. There's no accountability, so he'll probably be just fine. There won't be any consequences.
Yeah.
It's just all a part of the script with this guy. I'm so fed up. It's been one game.
No, listen, I understand where you're coming from. I'm going to give it through these next seven, whatever final regular season games they are, to go into postseason. But it doesn't look good. It doesn't look like Brett Brown, despite all that encouraging talk he's been giving everybody with these Zoom calls about chemistry and how Ben's looked in practice and Joel's in the best shape of his life and all these other. Well, the first time they had an opportunity to show that, A, Joel Embiid, doesn't look like he's changed a whole lot from a maturity standpoint. Brett Brown sure isn't doing a whole lot from a schematic standpoint. And Ben Simmons didn't shoot the ball, nor did he feel like he wanted to compete on the defensive end against T.J. Warren. So his players couldn't even go out there and validate all the things that Brett Brown has been saying since they got down to Orlando. As a matter of fact, they went out there and disproved everything Brett Brown said leading up to that first game.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you, I mean, Ben Simmons' line wasn't too bad. So John was saying that he's, you know, not a good defender. He wasn't into it. Like, you can come at the guy for that. But how about the rest of the team? I mean, it was not
defensively altogether.
It was a bad team effort. It wasn't just Ben Simmons.
Yes.
But Ben Simmons still produced. He still looked good and looked interested other than on the defensive end.
Oh, so other than defense, he looked interested. Awesome.
Yeah, he had 19 points. That's better than what Richardson did.
Yes.
Well, I mean, yes, you're right about that, Dom. All right, man, appreciate it.
Richardson's not a max player.
Yeah. No, I mean, Richardson's been a disappointment from what a lot of people thought he was going to be. I don't know. Maybe I expected a little bit more from him. I don't know.
More than 4 points.
Much more than that. Mike, Northeast Philly. Mike, go ahead. Mike, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
Yeah. Usually call in during the night. First time I got in during the day show.
Cool.
But, Mark, you are absolutely lost if you think Doug Peterson is more important than Carson Wentz. When, if Jalen Hurts and Nate Sudfeld were so good, they would have been the number two pick in the draft, correct?
I didn't say they were so good.
But you're saying that they can come in and win you three games?
I'm saying they could they could come in 4 games and they could win 3 games just like Carson Wentz.
There's
without Doug
no
could win
way
three
in
games.
Hell they're coming in
sure
winning
they
three
could.
Out of 4 games. Are you
sure
there's just
could.
No chance? Like look at all the rookie skill position players and all the new. Like you really think they're gonna Jalen Hurts is gonna come in up to speed already with all the Corona
well,
going
first,
on?
First of all, hopefully we don't have to find this out. But do I believe?
Absolutely.
Do I believe if Carson went down not for the entire season, but for a stretch where let's say it's Corona related, where he has to miss 3 or 4 games, the Eagles would be absolutely fine. Doug would figure it out. Doug would figure out what to do with whatever quarterbacks he's using. Yes, I have 100%
confidence. By the time he figured out what to do with Carson, they were 5-7 last year. By the time they figured out how to coach him.
Yeah, I don't agree. Like, there's no chance that with a rookie quarterback and a guy that's played one quarter is going to win you three out of four games.
No way.
No chance. Let me ask you a question. When Carson Wentz went down in 2017, what did you think at that point?
The season was over.
Okay. Right. Exactly. You give Doug a lot of credit for figuring it out with Nick and getting him back into that sweet spot?
Oh, absolutely. Doug deserves a lot of credit for that.
Okay.
But like Ike said, how long did it take him last year?
with Carson, listen, I can't speak for why it took as long as it did. There was a lot of talk in preseason, in training camp, in the beginning of the season about trying to keep Carson healthy. Obviously, they should have pulled it back a little bit more and let him do what he was going to do. But I think Doug tried for as long as he could to have him play in the pocket and then said, you know what, it's too late in the season, now we got to try to win games. And that's what they did.
I can agree with that. You're not completely wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think that you're going to have a rookie quarterback that's going to come in or a one-year guy that's going to come in and win you 3 out of 4 games. Maybe two. Maybe two.
Who's calling the plays if you miss Doug for 4 weeks?
Who's calling the plays?
Yes.
Deuce.
Has Deuce called plays before?
Just because he hasn't called plays before doesn't mean he can't call plays.
Yeah, how much experience did Doug have before they hired him as a head coach here?
No, I mean, you're right. He hasn't done it doesn't mean that he'll fail. Just like with other quarterbacks that could come in and play, it doesn't mean that they couldn't succeed either. Right? Like, Deuce doesn't have experience.
There's a difference between a guy that's been in the league, knows how a coaching staff works, has been a part of putting together game plans, and have gotten to sit there and listen to Doug call a game versus a guy who's never stepped foot on an NFL field. The difference is that the coaches have experience in this league. Nick Foles had experience in this league. That's what you are overlooking, and anybody else that believes Doug can just stick Nate Sudfeld in there or Jalen Hurts in there and win 3 out of 4 games. Like, these guys haven't played. That's different from guys who have been in the league for so many years who don't necessarily have to go out there and play. They have a full week to collaborate on a game plan and come together with stuff that's going to work, right? And then go out there and call the plays. Like, you're going to have more confidence calling stuff with Carson Wentz than you will Jalen Hurts or Nate Sudfeld. There's only so much you can do with those guys. It's not their fault. They just don't have the experience, at least from Jalen Hurts' standpoint.
No, I got you. But, I mean, like Carson Wentz was under 500 in 2018, and I know that he was hurt, and I know that there's reasons for that. But the point is that just because you have Carson Wentz doesn't necessarily mean that you have to, in a four-game stretch, you're going 4-0 or 3-1.
Okay. No, the question is not having him out there. You just said they can win 3 out of 4 games with a damn rookie quarterback.
But the point,
like, that's the question.
With them out there, they can lose the games too, Ike. Okay, so they can win.
Well, what gives you the better chance to win?
Doug calling plays. Doug, an experienced
with a
head
rookie
coach. Yes.
Or Nate Sudfeld gives you a better chance to win than having Carson Wentz out there on the field
with Deuce Staley calling plays.
I didn't say Deuce Staley. You said Deuce Staley.
No, the caller said Deuce Staley.
I don't care who it is that's calling the plays. I'm telling you that they have an actual OC there. Why do you keep ignoring that?
They don't have an OC.
Rich Gangarella he's not a former OC?
But he's not the offense coordinator of the team.
But he's a former OC, which means an OC. He knows what it means.
So he's going to call plays on the team?
No, they're gonna let Jim Schwartz call the offense.
I don't, but that's what I'm saying. You don't know who would call plays. That's the point.
No, it's a hypothetical. That's the point.
The point is that with Doug, you're losing the team's best player, yes. But with Doug, you also can say, okay, we still have the coach. We still have a guy that knows how to get the best out of whatever quarterback you're putting in there.
That's not true.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not? Because it's not true. You're using an example of a 7-year vet versus a rookie. Like, this ain't even that hard to figure out.
Yeah, but Dak Prescott as a rookie was able to have success.
This
how
ain't
come
Dak
Jalen
Prescott.
Hurts could?
This ain't Dak Prescott. This is not Dak Prescott. We're going with Doug, and we're talking about, you're saying, the success Doug had in the past without Carson Wentz. And I'm telling you that that was due to having a veteran, experienced quarterback that had started 30-plus games. That's why they had the success. I don't know if Doug was coaching Nate Sudfeld instead of Nick Foles that they go win the Super Bowl.
I doubt it.
Oh, why not?
Well, because I don't think Nate Sudfeld can play.
But I thought it was Doug.
What was Doug? No, Doug played
all right,
a
go
big.
Go ahead on to the
no,
next
no,
person,
no, no, no,
no.
Doug played a big part in Nick Foles, but it's great now that Nick Foles deserves all the credit. But Nick Foles was never allowed to get the credit before. It was all Doug. Now it's
no,
not Doug.
I'm telling you, your reasoning for having confidence in Doug is because of what Nick Foles did.
215-592-9494.
Is it not?
Mark Sinarisa on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. Yes.
All right, so that's what I'm saying. But this isn't Nick Foles. Nick Foles was a 7 or 8 year vet at the time.
That didn't look like he belonged in the league when he first started playing with the Eagles in 2017. He looked terrible.
He looked terrible against the Cowboys and the Raiders.
And then what happened?
What do you mean what happened?
And then Doug went back and he looked and he said,
What about the four touchdowns he threw against the Giants?
What do you mean?
The first game that he played before the Raiders or the Cowboys.
What about it? He played well in the game. What happened after that?
No, but I'm saying he threw four touchdowns in that game, running the same offense.
He did, yes.
Yes.
So Doug doesn't deserve a large portion of credit for taking him and saying, okay, this guy's really struggling. How do we get him ready for the playoffs? How do we get him to play well? Like, he couldn't possibly do that with a rookie quarterback. He couldn't do that and say, okay, what do I have? What's the film that I have on Jalen Hurts? How do I get through these four games? And how do I win three of the four games? How do I get the most out of Jalen Hurts?
I didn't say he couldn't possibly do it. It's probably less likely he would do that. And having success with it, there's a lesser chance of going that route versus going with experienced, seasoned, veteran coaches with a top 10 quarterback. Like, it's less likely that you're going to have the same level of success with Doug and Nate Sudfeld and Jalen Hurts versus Rich Gangarella, Marty Morningwig, Deuce Daly with Carson Wentz. That's all I'm telling you. We're saying which one is the most indispensable, the one you can't lose, you can't afford to lose of the two, Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz. That's what we're asking.
It's Doug.
In your opinion?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just telling you why I think it's Carson.
Let's go to the phones. Lou in Sacramento. Lou, how are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Yeah,
what's
up, Lou? I'm Ike, man. I mean, the players play the game, right? The coach is necessary for setting the culture, setting how you're going to, call plays. I get that, and he's the offensive coordinator. But I think Carson's at a point where he could call a lot of plays on the field if he needs to.
Mm.
So, and – you know, you're like just said, you're not giving enough credit to Nick Foles. I mean, did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you watch the Vikings game? I mean, he was dropping dimes. It doesn't matter what plays you call.
That's wrong. Doug's play calling, he was on fire for that stretch. Like, listen, Nick Foles.
He still has to execute.
Nick Foles played the game. Nick Foles made the throws. He deserves the credit for that. But don't act like Doug wasn't a big part of the reason why they were on fire.
I love, for the purpose of this argument, Nick Foles is irrelevant.
No, what did I say was irrelevant? I said he played the game. Like, he deserves the credit for it. Absolutely. But Doug also deserves credit.
I mean, if he was still here, then I would agree, you know.
Yes, so would I.
Peterson, yeah, but you have Hurts and Sudfeld, who we haven't seen much from. But, you know, I'm with Ike on this. And then real quick on the Sixers, man. So someone tell me Ben Simmons is now a four. He's a four. So the whole point of him being, you know, a unique player is he's a 6'10 point guard. So if he's a four that now is disinterested in playing defense and can't shoot, I mean, where are we going, guys? I feel bad for Brett Brown, but it's not looking good for his prospects if he can't get these guys motivated, because we'll see. I mean, it's one game, but I you know, if he's a 6'10 four that doesn't shoot, and I don't see the advantage of having him, you know, be out there. I don't know.
Got you, Lou. Appreciate it. Yeah, listen, they're back to Spurs tonight, 8 o'clock. They're favorites over the Spurs. Maybe this is the night where they kind of – everybody gets it going again. I mean, the offense didn't struggle the other night. And Bede looked great. Tobias Harris, although he took more shots to score 30 than he probably normally would. But it's also like Furkan, he didn't shoot the ball well. Shake pretty much gave you nothing in his 19 minutes. So some of the other guys need to do it too. Let's go to Joe in Seoul, New Jersey. Joe, go ahead. How are you?
Them Sixers are so lucky that there was no fans in stands. You think we booed Ben last year? We would have tore him up. And coach, how does he mess up Joel's timing so the fourth quarter he's got nothing? He's gassed out. He's terrible. Yeah, he paid 30-something minutes. He played a lot. But the coach... when the other team was on a run, He didn't stop it when they went 9 unanswered. He waited till they were 14 unanswered. It just was terrible. And then Ben had a chance and Joel had a chance to bring Shake along and teach him and coach him his first like game as being the man with Ben on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, Ben played his babiness. If it's not about me, I'm not going to make anybody else look good. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to sulk here. And he had chances to jam that guy up, Warren. He had chances to smother him. And he's just like, okay, go shoot. Okay, go shoot. Shake's supposed to get you. Go shoot. It just was terrible. Thank God the Flyers came out Sunday and ruled the roost. They showed what a real team is. They showed what teammates are. When one guy got popped, they went in there and popped everybody else. They gave everything they had. Both teams laid it out there. Serious. That's the way a team should have played. And the Sixers just didn't do that.
All right, Joe. Appreciate
it. Great call, Joe.
Yep. I mean, listen, they have a chance to come out tonight. I mean,
is he related from Tommy Downshore?
It sounded a little bit, right?
A little bit, but I think that was, well, I think it was.
Was it a parody call? See, I don't think it was
I don't think that was a parody call.
I don't either.
That's Joe and Sewell.
I have no idea, yeah.
I mean, you're new to the picking up the Philly accent.
Yes.
So.
That sounded more like a New York accent.
That's what I thought, too. I thought I picked up a little bit of Brooklyn.
We've talked to him before.
Yeah.
We've talked to him before. You know, now it seems like the Sixers, with the loss, their highest percentage chance of where they're going to show, where they're going to be in the playoffs, they'll be the sixth seed. So, look, they're on the collision course for the Celtics if everything holds true right now. Ike, do you like the matchup? They've had success against the Celtics during the regular season. I don't think the Celtics particularly match up well with them, but playoff basketball is obviously different.
I want Miami.
Yeah, Miami. It's one of the teams they could end up playing. It just depends how both teams figure it out down the stretch. Let's go to Rich in Ben Salem. Rich, go ahead. How are you?
Oh, man, I've been better. Listen, just let me vent and I will hang up.
All right.
I've been a Philadelphia sports fan since 1970. Now, I've seen a lot of bad things happen in Philly sports. That coaching performance of Brett Braham was the worst coaching performance I've seen in my life. I do not absolve the players. They're guilty. Don't get me wrong. But how can Brett Braham, in an important game, lose to a team whose three best players, two don't play, one's on a minute restriction? That's number one. Number two, your three best players at any given time had a 6-inch advantage over the player guarding them. And how many times did they not go to it? I don't get it. Number three, the guy scores 53 points total. He's not double teamed one time. Number four, the guy at the time in the most important defensive possession of the game has 50 points. So out of the huddle as a coach, don't you say, I don't care who beats me, you're on this guy, you don't leave him. If they pick and roll, yes, whatever. Here, the guy two steps into penetrating, a non-scorer, what happens? Somebody, the guy guarding the 50-point scorer slides over to help and leaves the scorer open for an open three. I literally called my dad, who's 90, and screamed at him, blaming him for it. I was like, what the hell you came out here watching stuff for? Okay, I vented. I had to get it out. Guys, yous are the best.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you.
All right, there he is.
Nobody else on the Pacers even scored more than 15 points.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
So, yeah, T.J. Warren should have been the last person that touched the ball.
Yeah, you would
coming
think,
down
right?
The stretch.
All right, let's go to Kenny, Northeast Philly. Kenny, what's up? How are you?
Afternoon, people. How are you,
Kenny?
First of all, I want to say I enjoyed the Yankees and the Red Sox on Saturday afternoon. You know,
that was a good game, though. Really?
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was good to see decent ball.
Yep.
But what I want to ask you, because you know, for years, announcers comment on this, and I don't. The step up from college to pro, okay? They say, well, it's his first year in the league, the second year in the league. If somebody's drafted in the first four rounds, should they be able to step into that position? I understand some positions are harder than others, like a quarterback or this or that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, should they be able to step into that position?
No.
No?
No.
The adjustment's that big?
Well, I mean, it depends on the position. Every position is has its own difficulties when it comes to learning it and adjusting it. And how big of an adjustment is it for a certain player at a position coming from college to the NFL? I think wide receivers struggle early. DBs can struggle early. You know, running backs, they may not struggle as much. Quarterback, it all depends. I mean, I don't know. Did you? It depends on what type of offense. One of the things that made Carson Wentz attractive his rookie year, and more so than Jared Goff that played at Cal, is that Carson Wentz came out of a pro-style offense. So a lot of the terminology, lining up under center, three-step drops, five-step drops, seven-step drops, these are things he did at North Dakota State. So it made it easier for him to make the adjustment. That's why he could miss training camp with a broken rib after the first preseason game and then step on the field for the first game of the season and win and win and win and start his career off going 3-0. Whereas with some guys, they aren't ready when they first come in. Lamar Jackson didn't play till the second half of the season. Probably wasn't as ready the first half of the season, right? It all depends on the player, the system he's coming out of. I mean, some wide receivers.
Ortega Whiteside?
Can't get on the field. Then you get some other rookie wide receivers step right out there.
Deshaun.
I've seen first-round picks not get on the field. I've seen fourth-round picks get on the field.
Case-by-case basis.
It happens.
Yeah. Got a Door and Window. Their big summer sales event continues. 40% off all windows and doors. Call them. Got a Door and Window. 877-GO-GOTTA or visit GOGUIDA.com.
One of the greatest Eagles defensive players ever almost didn't make it out of his rookie training camp. Jeremiah Trotter.
Yeah.
I was there. Ray told him.
Well, it should be even harder this year.
That's what I'm saying. And this year, it'll be even harder because these guys haven't had a real offseason.
Yeah.
Haven't had a real offseason. Hell, they won't even start practicing for two more weeks. And the season, as of right now, is supposed to start September 10th. So you're going to basically have, what, 3 weeks of warm-up practice? 3.5 weeks of warm-up practice with no preseason games?
Acclimation period.
And step on the field?
Yeah.
The opening week? Yeah, I don't know what to make of any young players this year. I don't know what to make of anybody. There are no preseason games. There were no OTAs. There was no rookie minicamp. It was none of that stuff. Everything was virtual.
Well, as far as the rookie question, I think the hope is a guy like Ortega Whiteside that struggled last year can step it up. And like year two, you always talk about year two is such a big difference between year one, especially for guys that maybe were slow to come around or just had that shock value of the NFL being like, wow, this is a lot different than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
They need it.
Everybody's different, man.
Let's go to Will in Bucks County. Will, what's up? How are you?
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Hi, Will.
What's up, Will?
Yeah, I gotta go with Ike on this. I don't know how, Mr. Marks, you can say Doug's more important. I think he's struggled just utilizing Carson to the best of his abilities since the Super Bowl up until the second half of last year. So I don't know. I don't have the same confidence at all that he can plug in another second string quarterback and not miss a beat.
Really? See, I actually feel like, listen, if you think that you're better off with Carson Wentz rather than Doug because Carson's a quarterback and he's a top 10 quarterback, whatever, like, I can understand your thinking, but I certainly feel confident with Doug being the head coach if you do have to bring in an inexperienced quarterback or a backup quarterback. I feel great about that. Just like with Andy, when the quarterback would go down with Andy Reid, you always knew that the team was going to be okay because they were prepared to play. So I never worried about it with Andy.
But you need players. Hold on. You need players. Having Michael Vick as a backup ain't the same as having A.J. Feely.
No, and that was the defense won those games.
And Mike McMahon is different than Jeff Garcia, We saw what Andy looked like with Mike McMahon as the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Mike McMahon was terrible.
That's what I mean. But Jeff Garcia is a veteran, had gone to the Pro Bowl in San Francisco. It's a lot easier to go in there with him and play than it is somebody who can't play. So even the great Andy Reid. Even the great
man, Andy, I love Ike Reid.
My bad, coach. Even the great Andy Reid, you still need talent. I know what we look like in that Carolina Panthers game when Donovan McNabb went out the game.
Mm-hmm. Coy.
Yeah, Andy wasn't dialing up explosive plays then.
Listen,
but they did draft Jalen Hurts in the second round. Like, he clearly has talent.
Yes, he does. I agree. Oh, but that's not what we're necessarily discussing. And what we're discussing is who would you feel, I would imagine, less concerned about? Or who would you have more confidence in? The combination of Doug Peterson with Jalen Hurts and Nate Sudfeld? By the way, depending on when this hypothetical takes place, still don't know if Jalen Hurts is the first guy off the bench. But we'll, for the sake of argument, because everybody likes Jalen as opposed to Nate, we'll throw Jalen in there as the first guy off the bench. I know I would feel more comfortable with Carson Wentz out there as the quarterback with a collaborative effort from the assistant coaches. I have a guy in Rich Scangarella who's called plays in the NFL, who understands offensive concepts, who's going to be able to put, who was brought here to put an offense or help out with the offense that will cater more to what Carson Wentz's skills are. That's why he was brought in. That's why Marty was brought in, to add to what Doug is doing. So I would feel more confident with those assistant coaches and Carson than I would these guys trying to figure out. And it takes so much longer. Yeah, if it's 4 weeks, you might win in week three, possibly week four, depending on who's on the schedule.
Yeah, it depends on who you're playing.
Yeah, I don't know if Jalen Hurts is ready to go up against Baltimore Ravens defense. Like, it depends on where you're at in the schedule. This ain't the Big 12. You don't get to play SMU. You don't get to play some of these other non-conference games. It's the NFL. They're all good. They're all good. So, to me, I would rather have somebody who's experienced in that position who can also help with the game planning. Hey, this is what I like. We run this. This has worked. Carson is an extension of the coaches, whereas a Jalen Hurts and a Nate Sudfeld, they're going to basically be standing there waiting for you to tell them what to do and where to go. That's more work. That's more work than having an experienced guy out there. I don't know who's played in four seasons. He's played in close to 60 games, 70 games, something like that.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go to Wade in Chester. Wade?
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, Wade.
What's up, Wade?
How are y'all feeling today?
Good, man. What's going on?
Let you know in two minutes.
Okay. All right. I got you. Hey, listen, right? Mm-hmm. It's funny that this conversation is going on because Jalen Hurts is, like I said before, his style of play is tailor-made for coming into a league or a team that he hasn't had a time to learn the plays there because of how he plays. And I'm telling you, and largely that's why they drafted that player. You know what I'm saying? The other thing is this team is more successful without Carson Wentz than they are with Carson Wentz. So I don't know how y'all want shaking this thing up like we'll be distraught without Carson Wentz. But we've been without him many times, and every time we was without him, we won. Mm. Or we're more, you know, successful without him than we are with him. Mm. Can we agree to that?
No.
No?
No.
So you went to the playoffs twice without him.
The most success you've had was in 2017. You won.
They won
2007. They were 9-7 in 2018. I'm talking about 2017.
Didn't they win playoff games then?
They were 9-7 in 2017.
Right, but didn't they win the
playoff games? In 2017, you said the most success they've had has been without Carson Wentz.
Right.
Well, how could that be when the most success they've had is with him under center?
Well, because he's never won none of them playoff games, correct?
That's a small window, Wade. Wait. Give me something better than this, bro. Please.
I'm just saying.
Give me something better. You don't have Nick Foles here, Wade. Is Nick Foles here?
No, he's not. But okay. Nick Foles is not the only quarterback that can win.
Oh, he's not?
No, he's not.
Well, I know. We're talking about why Doug had success winning without Carson. It was a veteran quarterback.
Okay, so that's the parameter.
No, that helps. It does it not help to have a guy? When Drew Brees goes down, it's probably good that you got Teddy Bridgewater there, somebody that was a starter, somebody that's been in the league, and you don't miss a beat, right? That helps.
But that's also somebody that had no success in the game. So it wasn't like
That's because he was in Minnesota.
Okay, so now it's determined on what city you playing at, and not.
Your favorite quarterback can't play out of the city of brotherly love. So of course that's a part of it, right?
That's you know what?
What?
That's suggestible, or however you want to say it, subjective. Because
that's
you
not
really
subjective.
Don't know that.
Well, no, I'm going off the track record. Where is the success he's had outside of Philadelphia?
Well, do Nick Foles need to win anywhere else right now to validate him as a good quarterback?
No, I said that.
No, he don't.
Now you want to deflect. So I said that in reference to the Teddy Bridgewater part where you said, oh, he can only win or this and that and the other. I said, well, sometimes it does matter where you are. It does matter having a good coach. Yeah, it was about time to get rid of him because he had lost that argument. So it does matter. It does matter. Not having success somewhere else versus this place, yeah, it probably does matter. It matters. So you can't say the Eagles have had their most success. Now they won the Super Bowl and Carson wasn't the starting quarterback, but that's a small window. That's a small window.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think it's outrageous to think that Hurts can come in and
– it's not outrageous to think that, but it's outrageous to think you would be in a better position with that scenario than you would with Carson Wentz as the starting quarterback. That's what's outrageous. Mm. That's not a shot at Jalen Hurts. This is – you saying, along with some others, saying the team would be just as good with Jalen Hurts and Doug Peterson than they would with Carson Wentz and the assistant coaches. And that's where we're having a disagreement.
Well, I mean, listen, they changed their staff around quite a bit in the offseason for a reason. Now you have a staff that's not experienced either.
No,
now you have an inexperienced staff.
Here.
Yes, exactly, here.
But that doesn't mean anything.
Okay, 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, we have a schedule update on the Phillies, Ike, that we'll give you on the other side. Also, we have to say goodbye to an acting great that also changed the way that we say diabetes. That's coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. But hey, listen, imagine coming back to work and then, you know, out again after all this, after the COVID's over, and you go to work and people are like, wow, hey, Bob, you look great, man. What, did you lose weight or did you get your hair cut differently? And really what you did was you went to Dr. Glatt, you got the hair restoration procedure you've been thinking about, and everything's great because your hair's grown in and it's amazing, right? Dr. Glatt is open. His office is sterile. He follows all the CDC guidelines. So what are you waiting for? If you're working from home, get the procedure done now. No one will ever know that you had it. They'll just know that you look great. My results are amazing. Yours will be too. Go to drglatt.com, drglat.com. You can see my before and after pictures. And understand this, that Dr. Glatt and his team have the most experience in hair restoration in Philadelphia, in the Philly area. Longest running office when it comes to hair restoration. So if you're thinning and you've heard me talk about this before and you're like, you know what, I wonder if it really works. Trust me, it works. It does. You can see, go to drglatt.com. Check out my before and after pictures. If you want to call his office, 610-980-4000, Dr. Glatt, 610-980-4000, or once again, drglatt.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.